And welcome to Fauns and Fauna, a podcast about creatures real.
Or otherwise.
I'm your camp counselor, Cody.
And I'm Ash.
Ranger Ash.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
With your bow and your quiver. And yeah. It's like, hey, it's not archery time. And you're like, there are orcs to slay. They shall not pass.
Yeah, I like that.
How's it going?
It's pretty good. I just woke up.
So, from the time right now we're recording, it's 7:20 a.m. I walked in our room at 7:03 a.m. and I was like, hey, it's 7. It's time to go. And literally rolled out of bed, poured a cup of coffee. Here we are recording.
Yep. But I feel like I don't have too much of a sleepy voice.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, I'm good. We have a birthday party to go to this mm-hmm. morning, so that's going to be really fun. One of our friends, their baby, their son, just turned 1. So
little guy.
Yeah.
Little girl. I was going to say his name, but then.
I know. I don't know if she wants their friend-o. Information out in the world. But yeah, so I'm excited to go and celebrate with them. And I know that at least one of my other friends is going to be there with her 3 kids.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I'm really excited to see all of them and be able to just like hang out. Cause I feel like the friend whose son's birthday it is, like I don't get to see her that often during the week. Well, I see her during our group and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but we never really get to hang out, you know, because we both like, I mean, we've been busy every single weekend. But I don't think I told you this. She and I actually have plans to go to SeaQuest together.
Oh, my gosh.
Not next weekend, but the following weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to SeaQuest together. So I'm really excited.
That's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm really stoked to hang out with her. So, yeah. How are you?
I'm good. It's been kind of cold out and I work outside. So staying warm. But it's like, you can't really complain because it's not summer anymore.
Yeah.
And that's great for your boy.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to like layer up.
Mm-hmm.
And also you are from 2 states where it has brutal winters.
I'm a big icy boy.
Yeah, so I've like Virginia does not have harsh winters at all. Even if we get dumped on with snow, it still is never really that cold.
Yeah, it gets so warm in the afternoon that the snow's gone by the time like you're sitting down for dinner.
Exactly. But yeah, so, well, all right then. Well, I guess we'll just,
without further ado, what you got for us?
Okay, so my creature this week is kind of random, but I don't know if I've explained this on the show, but I have a like method to how I pick my creatures.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like, I kind of am doing the David Attenborough angle where each episode is a new habitat.
Oh.
So I go oceans, mountains, polar, freshwater, caves, desert, plains, forest, and jungle.
Hmm.
And then once I run through all of those, then I'll start back over at the ocean.
Oh, okay.
The exception is holidays. So like for Halloween, I did 2 creatures that were outside of the order of all of that. And then for Christmas, I'll probably be doing creatures that don't fall into those categories. Well, they do, but not in that order.
Mm-hmm.
So we are...
That was funny.
So today we are in the forest.
Oh, boy.
And our creature is the striped skunk.
I don't know anything about skunks.
I didn't really
other than
either.
Like their bad smell.
Yeah, I didn't really know anything about them either.
Huh.
And at first I was like, do I really want to do the skunk? Because sometimes I feel like the creatures that I bring are not that exciting, but then I like start researching them and I'm like, whoa, these are really cool actually.
I get that vibe from skunks. Like I don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna fall in love with them.
Yeah, they're really cool. So okay, let's move into the fast facts. They are about 8 to 19 inches from snoot to toot.
Okay.
And their tail is about 5 to 15 inches.
Big range.
Yes. Well, it's like including females and males. And this range is even wilder to me. They can range from 7 ounces to 14 pounds.
Whoa. Just like across different species? Would it be species of them? Different families or whatever?
That it's species because the majority of what I tried to find was specific to the striped skunk.
Uh-huh.
But I'm really not sure. Yeah. So they are omnivores. They live in the forests of basically the entire United States and the like large part of southern Canada and a very small portion of northern Mexico.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they got down that low.
I didn't either. Like, I didn't even realize that they were down in like the south, like the deep south. Like, I would never picture a skunk hanging out in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. But like skunks in Florida, you know, that's they're getting up to some stuff.
So they are polygamous. So that's something that they do. They have very few predators save birds of prey. And we'll get into more about that later.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of self-explanatory, but there are parts about their protection that I didn't realize. Hmm. So, yeah. They are one of the most recognizable animals in North America.
That tracks.
Yeah.
That's like very bold, very out there.
I feel like that's the same as like you see a bear, you know it's a bear.
Yeah.
Like, well, once you are a little bit older, our daughter confuses deer with foxes all the time.
Yeah.
But she's also not looking at the like real life animal and is looking at them in picture books.
Hmm.
But like, I feel like it's like, you know what a bird looks like. You know what a bear looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a skunk looks like.
Yeah.
So, moving into the anatomy and biology, they are stout and short-limbed with conical heads.
Okay.
So, their heads kind of look like candy corns.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of have bodies like corgis. If you think
you
about
do, huh?
it.
Yeah.
But they have like long tails.
Yep. Huh.
Their tails are heavily furred.
Very floofy.
Yeah. And adult males are about 10% larger than females, which kind of like goes back to the like wide range of like lengths and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is really interesting. I never knew that animals were categorized in this way, but they have plantigrade feet with bare soles, which means that they walk with their toes and metatarsals flat on the ground.
Hmm.
And they don't have fur on their feet like other animals might.
Yeah.
So to kind of put what plantigrade means into perspective, I also included what the other ones are. I didn't write down what they are called, which was my mistake.
That's okay.
But the difference could be that they either walk on their toes with their heels in the air like cats
do. Okay, gotcha.
Or they walk on their nails, quote unquote, or hooves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, I guess we would technically be considered plantigrades.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So their forefeet have really long claws, which helps with digging.
Mm-hmm.
And then their hind feet have like shorter, more straight nails.
Okay.
Their general coloration is a black base with a white stripe that bisects their body. And some will have like a white patch on their chest.
Hmm.
And some will have like brown or cream colorations, but that's pretty rare.
Okay.
The black and white is like their thing.
Is it male and female? Like they have the same coloring and everything? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So now we're going to get into the fun part.
Okay.
They have two highly developed scent glands on either side of their anus.
They make the stinky.
They do. So those are exocrine glands. And those are found in most mammals that produce semi-viscous secretions, which is one of the grossest things I've ever said. And it's full of pheromones and and like other chemical compounds. So the ones specific to the skunk contain about 15 milliliters of musk per gland.
Uh-huh.
And the musk is oily and yellow.
Oh.
Isn't that so gross?
Yeah.
But I feel like that kind of is like, when I read that, I was like, that's gross. But then I thought about it and like, I wasn't surprised really, because in like movies and stuff, whenever skunks spray, they always have that like yellowish cloud, you know?
And it's by design, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, it's bad because like that's their defense, right? So like they're doing a good job by making it yucky and all that.
And I'm about to kind of like get into more about it. So the mixture of odors are called thiols or thiols, which is basically a sulfur derivative. So it's a chemical defense mechanism that can be sprayed at a distance of several meters. And if it's sprayed on the eyes, the compound can cause temporary burning. So, which like makes sense. So skunks have just enough quote unquote spray for 5 to 6 successive sprays. But then after that, they need about 10 days for it to like rebuild back in their system.
So when they spray, it's like a liquid like spray. It's not like the cloud that you see in like Looney Tunes.
Well, it's like semi-viscous. So it's kind of like, you know, when you like walk through a mist cloud and it feels wet. That's what it's like. Yeah. Which is really gross. So, but here's the other thing that is really cool about them. Their coloration actually warns predators against attacking them before they need to spray. So it's called, they're aposematic, which is the same kind of thing. It's essentially like advertising, hey, I'm not food. So it's like poison dart frogs are aposematic and stuff like that. So the stark black and white contrast basically tells predators like, hey, don't eat me. So which I thought was really interesting because everybody thinks that like their spray is their number one defense mechanism, but it's actually their coloration. And typically they don't spray each other. Like, skunks fight skunks with, like, their teeth and claws. And they spray generally when they feel threatened at their den. Or, like, if dogs or people come along and we are too dumb to ignore their coloration and stuff. Because, like I said, most predators ignore them anyway. They are not really bothered by other animals. So I guess we can now move into the life and behavior. So skunks are crepuscular, which if you guys remember, it means that they are awake predominantly during twilight. They are typically solitary animals except during mating season, but those who live in colder climates might have like common dens where a bunch of them will come and huddle together while they're sleeping to keep warm. And they shelter in burrows that they create with their claws and stuff. So they're home builders.
I like that. I like an industrious animal.
I really like these guys because they are a lot more family oriented than I realize.
Are they?
The males aren't. But so in the winter, they will hunker down in their dens for extended periods of time, but they don't hibernate. They just remain like generally inactive and don't really eat that much. The multiple females will huddle together and the males will often den alone. So, and although they have really strong senses of smell and hearing, they have really bad eyesight. To which I say, I have a normal human sense of smell. My hearing and eyesight both suck. So so I cannot pass as a skunk if I wanted to.
Also not very stinky.
Well, I could be.
That's true.
So they can't see objects more than 10 feet or 3 meters away. Which like very now I kind of want to do an experiment. So Cody and I both wear glasses. We both have very poor eyesight. So what is an object that you see in front of us that you would say is about that distance?
You said 3 feet or 3 meters?
10 feet.
10 feet. From you, 10 feet would be about that hoodie right there.
Okay. So I take off my glasses and I mean, that's kind of a bad example because it looked like a black blob before. But I guess so 10 feet is about that distance. So trying to like, there are things on our counter that are about 10 feet away. And I could not tell you what they are. Like, I can see that there is stuff there, but I could not tell you what they are.
Yeah.
Like, there is something on the counter right over there that is sparkly, and I have no idea what it is. So, yeah. My eyesight is just as bad, if not worse, than a skunk.
There you go.
Old
skunk eyes, they call her.
Wait, you should try it.
Oh, I mean, it's like, so we're both nearsighted. Mm-hmm. So once you get past, like, I don't know, 18 inches or so, mm-hmm. I stopped being able to read things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so at that point, I mean, everything's just kind of blurry.
Yeah.
Like, I can make out a stuffed dog, but mm-hmm. if you take that stuffed dog back another foot,
it's just a blob.
It's just a brown blob. Mm-hmm. So
that's the thing that, like, I remember when I wore, like, so I first started wearing glasses when I was in, like, second grade, I think. Mm-hmm. So I've been wearing glasses for a long time. And I remember kids would like take my glasses or I would
so messed up.
Yeah. Or I would like take them off to read.
Oh yeah.
Or anything like that. And they would be like, how many fingers am I holding up? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the kind of can't
see. That's
not
what it means.
Yeah. Like, and I would get it right and they're like, oh, so you don't really need your glasses. And I'm like, no, I can see your blurry hot dog fingers,
yeah, exactly.
Jeffrey. Like,
freaking Jeffrey.
Like, that's not what this is. It's just like everything gets super, super fuzzy and blurry. And the further away it is, I can't distinguish what mm-hmm. it is from another object. But anyway, I digress. So because of their poor eyesight, it makes them particularly vulnerable to vehicle traffic.
Oh.
Especially because the cars are moving so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're focused on something on the ground and they don't like see what's mm-hmm. happening. So yeah, it's really unfortunate, but that's why they get hit by cars so frequently because they can't see. They're not like deer where they can see and they just freeze.
Yeah. And it's really not fair because the skunk gets out there and he says, oh, what's this? A giant skunk? Let me investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And because he think of the road as a big skunk, and he said, "How this skunk gets so big?" And so he stands there, and then the car comes by.
Yeah.
Roads look like giant skunks.
They mate in early spring, and they usually give birth in May, which means that their gestational period is only 66 days. Which, whoa. Like, can that be the human gestational period? Because ours is like about 300 days.
Yeah.
So before they give birth, the mother will excavate a den and prepare for her litter of either 4 to 7 kits.
Okay.
Kits are what the little pups are called, which is so cute. They are born blind and deaf, which evidently doesn't change much as they get older. They won't open their eyes until they're about 3 weeks old, and then they'll open them and see that nothing has changed.
Yep.
They are weaned by about 2 months, but they'll stay with their mothers until they're ready to mate, which is about 1 year.
Okay.
So I kind of feel like that's like how people are. Like, they stay with their families until they're mature, and then they go off and start making their own families, you know? So the mother is super protective of her young and will spray at any sign of danger.
Hmm.
So that's, like I said before, they don't typically need to spray out in the wild, mm-hmm. but the mom, especially when protecting her young,
gets a little trigger happy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The father doesn't really play a role in raising the kits at all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, like I said, they are polygamous.
Mm-hmm.
And so the males will kind of just like go around and make families with a bunch of females. And then they're like, well, so at least they don't have favoritism.
Well, there's always that.
So they have a super short lifespan. Like,
yeah, that's what it sounds
like. Super short. They live for about 1 to 7 years.
Whoa.
And the average is one.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, the majority of skunks.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I need to like process that, because they don't have many natural predators, and you said they reached like maturity at one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the weird thing is that they, like, on their endangered species list, they are considered of least concern.
Uh-huh.
So nobody is worried about their population.
That's
it
so
doesn't
bizarre
seem like it's going to be decreasing anytime soon. So they just have a really short lifespan. Like, even in captivity, they only live up to 10 years, which is shorter than most dogs.
What's like the, they like die of natural causes in
that
range?
I really
range?
Don't know. It didn't say. That's, I'm assuming so that weird. Honestly, largely it has to do with human intervention. And
that's
like
significant?
I mean, probably, honestly. Like, we suck.
Yeah, but can you say something has a short lifespan like that when it's like they're being hunted for cool
that's
hats
true.
For hillbillies
yeah,
to
that's,
wear?
That's true. Yeah, I'm really not sure. Hmm. Like, I don't know if
I wonder,
they succumb to diseases
yeah, I was
more
say,
easily.
Is
I really
there, like,
don't know. It didn't say.
Okay.
So, like I said before, they are omnivorous, and I'm going to give a little breakdown of what their diet is. But before I do that, I also want to say that they are like our other animal friend, the bison.
Oh.
Who, their diets change based on the season.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Although, like, the bison will intentionally seek
very
out
smart.
Plants
very
that they need to eat.
Yes.
These will not.
Dumb
skunks will not.
Yeah.
Dumb little stinkies. But their diet does change with the season, mostly just because of what's available.
Okay.
So they will eat insects, larvae, worms, grubs, rodents, lizards, salamanders, frogs, snakes, birds, moles, eggs, berries, roots, leaves, grass, fungi, and nuts.
Wow.
Take
that, little old lady.
Yeah. So they literally are just like, they will eat whatever.
Yeah. Whoa.
In desperate times, they've been known to scavenge garbage or like animal carcasses.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty rare.
Hmm.
I feel like it would have to be a really rough winter for them to do that kind of stuff. So they are actually one of the primary predators of the honeybee.
Whoa.
Yeah. So when I first found out that they were the like number one predator of honeybees, that made me really sad.
Yeah.
But it's not as tragic as it could be.
Go on.
So the skunk will scratch at the front of the hive and eat the guard bees.
Okay.
But he won't like decimate the whole hive.
Oh.
Yeah. So he'll like scratch at the front of the hive, and the guard bees will be like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
And the skunk will be like, hum, num, 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 tasty snack. And then like the queen will just be like, well, I guess we need some more guards, you know?
Okay.
So it's not like, and he doesn't, they don't destroy the hive or anything like that. So, yeah. A great thing that skunks do in California specifically, which was kind of weird to me, was that they will dig up and eat yellow jacket nests.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
these are some tough guys.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, their fur usually helps them from getting stung.
Okay.
So what they do to protect their tongue, I don't
know.
But
huh.
Have you ever seen pictures of dogs who ate bees?
No. That sounds pretty sad.
It is.
But it's also
cute. But it's also hilarious. Because their faces get all puffy.
I'll have to look it up.
So yeah. But that's kind of what I imagine happening.
Okay.
So,
just like an extra derpy skunk?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So like I said before, they fight other skunks with teeth and claws and not their spray. And then this, my friends, is one of the craziest things I have ever read. It was bonkers. So the great horned owl is the number one predator for skunks.
What?
Yes. There was a case where a nest of a horned owl was found.
Uh-huh.
And inside the nest were the remains of 57 striped skunks.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. 57.
That owl had like a taste for skunk meat. Whoa.
I read that and I was like, that has to be I mean, it's true, but it sounds like a legend where like this great horned owl had a personal vendetta against the skunks and like one by one picked off this colony of skunks and like
that's so crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, it was crazy. Wow. Yeah. So now we're going to move into the human relations portion. So skunks rarely bite humans, and they actually are a less common vector of rabies than the raccoon, which might have been like common knowledge, but I don't know.
I didn't know it before. Now I do.
So skunks technically can be kept as pets in the United States. In 17 states, it's legal to own a skunk. And more often than not, they will have their scent glands surgically removed.
That's good. More often than not.
Yeah. That's awful.
Removing the glands.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes.
Like, don't... First of all, unless you are, like, a trained exotic animal professional and you are creating a place for people to come and be educated on animals. And as I'm talking, I'm realizing that I am describing a zoo. So unless you are at a zoo or you are a zookeeper, do not own wild animals. PSA, do not own wild animals, especially if you are going to surgically remove a huge part of their anatomy. Like, no, don't do that. And I feel like in situations where people own wild animals, they get angry at them when they act like wild animals.
Yeah.
So yeah, PSA, don't own wild animals. Yeah, full stop. And this also is like, removing their scent glands is the same as declawing your cats. If you're going to get a cat, don't declaw them. Yeah. They have their claws for a reason. Declawing them is extremely painful.
Yeah.
And it is bad for the cat. So if you don't want a cat with claws, don't get a cat. Or if you want a cat, you can get little caps to put on their claws so that it makes them less sharp. But just make sure that you remove them.
Or just get like the little post or something for them to like...
to scratch on, yeah. But yeah, so PSA, we hate animal cruelty here. In the UK, they can be kept as pets, but it's illegal to have their scent glands removed,
which
I feel like is a huge deterrent to keeping them as a pet, which is good in my opinion. So the Cherokee believed that skunk musk could ward off disease and plague. And so they would like hang skunks, like the dead skunks, over doorways during times of like extreme sickness in the thoughts that it would ward off the sickness.
Interesting. I feel like that's the complete opposite of like what you see in
Europe
and stuff, because it's like you want good smells when they're weird. Okay.
So they often play the role of villains in indigenous lore, and the musk was legend to have once been fatal, but a hero came and defeated the skunk, and now their musk is just annoying.
Okay. And are these like native legends or okay, that's cool.
Yep. And then my last little fact that I have is the Muscogee Creek tribe held admiration for skunks because they saw them as family protectors and creatures who would enact justice on badly behaved animals.
Dude. Yes.
So yeah, that is the skunk.
Oh man, that was so cool.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Yeah, so much I didn't know.
Well, what creature do you have for me this week, honey?
Well, this week, it's kind of fortuitous for multiple reasons that I think only you will understand.
Okay.
That you talked about the stinky, given our lives currently. I'm going to be talking about the Kelpie, also known as the water Kelpie, which is a Scottish creature.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
So.
That's so perfect.
Well, it gets better. So, the Kelpie has been portrayed in various forms of art and literature. It's featured in a poem by Robert Burne, and also Sir Walter Scott wrote about, or like mentioned them in one of his poems. Pictures portraying the Kelpie can be found in what's known as the Pictish Stones, which are dated around the 6th to 9th century.
Okay.
And they're just like these stone pillars that have a bunch of beasts carved into them. One is the Pictish beast.
So are they like totem poles made of stone?
Kind of, I think they're more like cross-shaped, but yeah, like just big rocks with different art carved into them.
Okay.
And you can see what's called the Pictish beast, which is an early form of the Kelpie.
Okay.
You'll find stories about them. Basically, all of Europe has stories. They're a water horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're talked about in Harry Potter.
Okay. So, darn you, Harold. But yeah, they're just another one of the water horses.
Cool.
And speaking of artwork, in Falkirk, Scotland, they have statues of Kelpies.
Uh-huh.
100 feet tall horse heads.
Wait, shut up. Is that what those were?
Those were the Kelpies.
Oh my gosh, I wish we had known that when we went there.
So, we took a trip with your family.
Yes.
To Scotland.
Uh-huh.
While we were there, we saw these giant statues of horse heads. They were called Kelpies, and no one knew what they were. During that same trip, we went to Loch Ness.
Yes.
Where we spent a little bit of time
with
looking
Nessie.
For the Loch Ness monster, finding her, becoming friends, going on an adventure, which kind of got the gears turning in a way that I think ultimately led to this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for other reasons, it's fortuitous that we're talking about that and you're stinky.
Uh-huh.
And here we are today.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm loving this.
Yeah. So.
I am like floored that we literally saw those statues and didn't realize what they were.
Yep.
Although in my defense, there were two dogs.
Yeah.
So.
And they were they were boxers.
They were.
So the primo dog. So, the Kelpies. What is it? Well, it's usually described as a powerful and beautiful black horse.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Beautiful.
Which, like, that's all horses, okay? But these ones are black, so it's just, like, even more just majestic and wonderful. And they live in the deep pools of rivers and streams in Scotland. So, another water horse. They're usually portrayed as having a silver bridle and a jewel-encrusted saddle. So,
interesting.
All blinged out.
So and they're domesticated by some other kind of.
So we'll get back to those.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the like key things that like trigger you to let you, well, not trigger you, but like tip you off to letting you know that it is a Kelpie, their hooves are reversed from what a normal, like the way a normal horse's leg works.
Well, it's good that they have that to point it out, because anytime I see a horse in the wild that's in the middle of a creek in Scotland, I automatically am just like, that's just a normal horse.
And you want to just go up and pet it and love it and ride it, but who can tame the wind? In Aberdeenshire variation, the horses have a mane of serpents.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is crazy metal. So, a little bit more about them from their physical standpoint. A Kelpie is as strong as 10 horses, and it has the stamina of more than 10 horses.
That's crazy.
So, even
because
more powerful,
horses are
more
already
majestic.
Strong AF, and they have stamina for days. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, so just imagine you show up to the horse races with all the guys, and they're like, that's a beautiful model you got there, Jeb Bud. What you got? What's he rocking? He's, oh, this is a 10 horsepower horse under the hood. I got a four thumper running on 10. So you would win all of your little mud pole tugs. More about like their abilities. So residents of around the River Spaywas, their Kelpie is white. And it has a beautiful voice that it uses to like lure people.
So they're like sirens. Into,
yeah. So, we'll get in. They're more like sirens than you might think. More magical powers. They are able to summon floods in order to sweep away travelers to a watery grave. So, lots of magical stuff. One of the more interesting things they can do, they can actually like elongate their horse form in order to like facilitate multiple riders. Yeah.
Interesting.
So a lot of the stories you read about are different numbers of boys, because it's always boys, because boys be rowdy. Of like the horse, there's like the most what the one that I saw pop up again and again and again is the story of the 10 boys and the Kelpie. So
wow.
10 boys out yeah. playing near a river.
As boys will do.
As boys will do. And they see a beautiful horse and they're like, hey, let's ride it. And they're like, well, who's going to ride it? And they're like, well, I'll get on. And the horse is like, hey, I've got room for all of you. And it just stretches out its form. And then one after another, the boys keep getting on. The horse gets longer. The boy gets on. It gets longer. And finally get to the 10th boy. And he's like, I don't know. And he goes up to pet the horse on the nose. And he strokes down the side of the horse. And his hand gets stuck to it. And the horse takes off into the river to like do whatever it's going to do down there. And the boy is fighting and pulling away. And he takes out a knife and he cuts off his fingers to free himself. And he gets away. The other 9 boys are never seen or heard from again.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they're,
I just got goosebumps.
So they're like fur or like their, I don't know, skin, flesh or whatever. It's like super sticky and they can like basically control it. And if you touch one, your hand can become stuck to it.
That's crazy.
So be careful. I know they're beautiful and majestic and powerful, but you got to resist the pet.
Wow.
So perhaps most notably, Kelpies are shapeshifters.
Oh, interesting.
They have the ability to transform themselves into a non-equine form, and they take the outward appearance of a human man.
Okay.
That
is a far greater deterrent than a horse.
Well, for you, yeah. And traditionally, Kelpies in their human form are males. There are some paintings that you'll see by Millie Dow and a painter with the last name Draper, who, according to a folklorist, like a Scottish folklorist, she's like, they basically just ignored all of our traditions and just painted these siren ladies and were like, yeah, they're Kelpies.
Oh.
Just kind of ignoring the tradition and everything.
Not great.
Yeah. But so whenever the Kelpies do appear in their male form, they're said to be very hairy.
Okay.
And they basically hide like in waiting for people, and they'll jump out and they'll crush them with their bare hands because they're still as strong as 10 horses.
Honestly, if I saw a big hairy man jump out at me when I was on a walk in the woods, I would die of fright before they were able to strangle me.
Yeah, that's true. Just like a big hairy Scottish man jumps out. I mean, I'm already dead. Like, my soul has already, like, he's crushing a corpse at that point.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
he's beating a dead horse, if you will.
However, there is a way to figure out whether it's just a hairy man or if it is a Kelpie in disguise. Okay. So,
this is for everybody that's not me, because I would not take the time.
If you look at them, if you look real close before that hand, you know, clamps down over you, after, maybe it's like your soul leaves your body and you can look back down and it's actually seaweed and not hair or water weed.
Greg.
Yeah. Theory is, no, I'm just
kidding. Old Greg is a Kelpie.
Old Greg is a Kelpie. So the age of these men ranges. Sometimes they're like old and grizzled, but they can also be like young and very handsome.
Not handsome enough.
Well, not for you, but for some people. So in Barra, there's a story about a lonely Kelpie who transforms himself into one of these handsome men in order to woo a woman so he can have a wife.
Okay.
The girl recognizes that he's a Kelpie and she removes his silver necklace. He kept his bridle.
The bridle.
And when that happened, he turns into his equine form, and the girl now has control over him by taking his bridle. And so she takes it home with her to her father, and the father like forces him to work. And he starts
as a horse?
As a horse, yeah. So when she took the necklace, he turned back into his horse form. She basically, like, the father forces him to work for a year.
Okay.
At the end of that year, the woman goes to like this wise old man mm-hmm. who's like, no, you should give it back to him, set him free. And when she does that, they both go to the wise old man and he's like, basically, do you want to marry this guy or not? And she's like, no, I'll marry him. So they get married and he gets to stay a man forever and they live happily ever after the end.
There are parts of that story that I like. I like the old man where he's like, no, you should not do that.
Yeah.
Don't give it back to him. And then it's like, do you want to marry him? At which point, I feel like the Kelpie should have been like, I don't want to marry you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
But it was her father who made him work.
Yeah, but she's the one who took the necklace to control him in the first place.
Well, I don't know if she knew that, like, it controlled him. She just, like, took the necklace, he turned into a horse, and she's like,
Okay, I guess, yeah.
But speaking about romantic relations of the Kelpie, they are able to have babies with regular horses.
Okay.
And their offspring cannot be drowned.
Oh, interesting.
So, horses notoriously not great in the water.
I mean, they are, like, they can swim.
They are drownable.
Well, most things are. Not them, though.
But not them. And you can tell whether or not it's the offspring of, like, a Kelpie and a horse because it has, like, shorter and more round ears.
Okay.
So really, that's the kind of horse you want to be looking for. Not with the seaweed or the serpent mane. I think that's really where you're going to get your winner. So, signs of the Kelpie. Ways to tell. Obviously, like, they're kind of, like, often waiting mm-hmm. for people, usually, like, children. Or if they're an old man, they're hiding somewhere, so mm-hmm. not a lot of signs there.
And I'm assuming, like, so wild horses look different than domesticated horses mm-hmm. in the wild. Like, they don't get their fur brushed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have their mane brushed. So they just look a little more rugged.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Kelpie always looks sleek.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so if you saw, well, actually, I mean, depending on where you are, if I saw a horse like that out in the wild, I would be like, oh, you are very lost, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Never mind.
Also,
sorry.
Your knees are backwards.
Wait, their knees are backwards? I thought it was just their hooves.
Well, their hooves are backwards, but it's like, hey, that's, I don't know. So, signs of them. This, when the Kelpie's tail touches the water, so like, they get their prey and they go into the water to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
When the tail touches the water, there's a crack of thunder.
Whoa.
Yeah. And also, like, when, so if you're going around and you hear like a wicked bad howl or something, they will also be warning people of a coming storm. So you get like kind of like conflicting accounts of they want to steal your children, but also like, well, maybe they're not warning. They just kind of like howl and will yip and stuff when there's going to be a storm coming.
But, well, I'm wondering like, so, okay, animals are never cruel for the sake of cruelty's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they might eat things that we think is like, for example, when polar bears are hunting seals,
mm-hmm.
we see that as cruelty, but it's not. Like, they're just
eating. No, it's survival, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm like, well, Kelpies are probably just doing the same thing, like.
Yeah, but I've also brought things that are very cruel.
Yeah.
But I feel like they fall more like, it's a spectrum where they're not necessarily cruel.
Yeah.
But they
I
do
guess
some.
I'm kind of just like, are they, like, do they have sentience that is, like, where they know what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they just, like, acting on their wild animal instincts?
Yeah.
You know? So, like, trying to figure out what that is like, you know?
And like, the accounts I saw, they're, like, cruel and evil to people just as often as people are terrible to them.
Yeah.
Like, with stealing their bridle, with, like, you know, doing all kinds of stuff to them.
Yeah. Although I will say, having someone steal a treasured piece of jewelry from you is not an excuse for you to murder their children.
No, they didn't murder their children.
No, I know.
Yeah, they would
just like
randomly murder people's children unprompted. So, which is worse, really. So, where do you find a Kelpie? Well, it's a hot button issue because you see a lot of people, or like early versions of the Kelpie are only found in rivers and streams, like living in the pools there.
Mm-hmm.
But you see a lot of references to them being in locks or like lakes and stuff, mm-hmm. which is not supposed to be where they're originally found. Like, that's supposed to be a completely different creature called an Ichthyosage. I'm 100% sure I'm saying that wrong. But if it's in a river or loch, it's supposed to be an Ichthyosage, which is it's kind of like a Kelpie, only it's more like, in depictions, it's like top half of a horse, bottom half of a human, which is hilarious and terrible. And they're supposed to be even more like vicious and cruel.
Well, yeah, because they're part human.
Well, however, some people believe that like they basically spread into that territory. Hmm. And Sir Walter Scott even wrote that like the Kelpie he wrote about was in a loch. Mm-hmm. And there's like famous Kelpies in Loch Ness. So they're like, okay. They've kind of just expanded their terrain, mm-hmm. Being so powerful. So, what do you do should you encounter a Kelpie?
Well, run, I should think.
They are the strongest 10 horses. Though. So,
climb a tree, maybe?
Well, if it's in its human form and you strike it, it will turn back into its horse form and run away from you.
Hmm. You would have to be lightning fast to be able to do that, though.
Well, it's just, if it's like in the form of an old man, he might be stronger. Oh, I'm going to get you. And then you whoosh, smack him upside the head. And then he turns into a horse. And he runs away with his tail between his legs. And then, of course, like we already said, it does have a very distinct weak spot, which is the bridle. Mm-hmm. So anyone can get a hold of its bridle can command it. So even if, like, with those boys, mm-hmm. if they had, like, instead of petting it and getting their hands stuck to it as they like hopped onto its back, if they had grabbed the bridle, then they could have controlled it. Mm-hmm. And there's like a famous account of the McGregor clan.
Ooh.
Is reported to like have a Kelpie bridle that they passed down generation to generation.
Wow.
And it's like, why would you not want to keep this horse? It's as strong as 10 horses. Yeah. And it has like infinite stamina. So, and apparently they got theirs from Loch Slocht. So, and they just kind of keep passing it down.
Hmm.
Also, if you find it in its equine form without any of its like tack or anything, it can still be captured using what's known as a halter stamp, or like putting up the sign of the cross that like kind of repels them. You'll see like conflation of like them with the devil because their hooves are backwards, mm-hmm. and they can like be part human and part horse. Think kind of like Pan or like the devil.
Yeah.
So a lot of like crosses and stuff will do them, like send them running and stuff. And also, much like werewolves, if you shoot them with a silver bullet.
See, I'm kind of like how Dracula is in Hotel Transylvania, where he's like, who wouldn't that kill?
Well, a lot of, you know, so say like regular bullets, mm-hmm. I think if you shoot like a demon and stuff with a regular bullet, it's not going to do anything.
Well, fair
like,
enough.
Think supernatural.
Yeah.
They do all kinds of terrible stuff. It doesn't work. And also, so there's a story of a blacksmith family who is basically just like being taunted by this Kelpie.
Oh.
Who just like constantly is just like making sounds at them and like frightening them and their children. Well, the father makes two iron spears and heats them up in the fire and like uses that to like stake it to the ground basically. And like that kills it. So it's like, and then you see iron. So silver and iron are able to.
Yeah, iron and.
So iron and silver ties in,
are like huge in the supernatural world.
And so iron, there's like Kelpies. Some people believe that they might be like fairies or like a kind of fae mm-hmm. or like a fae creature.
Yeah,
and
I so can that's see that 100%.
Why I feel like originally it was probably more iron to go like iron in the shape of the cross uh-huh. and then as the story of like werewolves and vampires got more big, people were like, oh, and also silver.
Yeah.
See, yeah.
I had hoped that the blacksmith was going to be like, here, look, I made you these really nice shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, then that'd they be cool. became friends.
Oh, that's a good story someone should write.
Yeah, not me though, because I'm not Scott. Well, I think I am Scottish. But I'm MacDonald. Not Scottish enough. Yeah, MacDonald. That's my mom's maiden name. So I'm super Scottish, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, like, assume, you know?
Yeah.
So if we have any Scottish listeners, I know we have German listeners. Shout out to mm-hmm. our German friends. But if we have any Scottish listeners who want to write some folklore,
we should do, if anyone wants to like write stories or like has stories and they want to write them in, that would be the most fun episode. Yes. Of just reading like crazy encounters with real animals.
Yeah.
Crazy encounters with my real animals also that are just more fantastical. Yeah.
If you guys want a listener's episode, we would love to do that. So send us stories about your pets, or like Cody said, any animal interaction that you've had, or if you guys have any stories about supernatural creatures, mm-hmm. or like family stories that you've had that have been passed down, we would love to read them.
Yeah.
And we can do an entire listeners episode where we share your guys' stories. Mm-hmm. We would love that. And like, if you guys have pets that you want to send us pictures of, we can post them on our Instagram and do a little like creature feature shout out, mm-hmm. type situation. So yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I have on the Kelpie. Just, you know, if you see a handsome guy walking around Scotland and he's wearing a silver necklace, maybe try and sneak it, because then you have a real strong horse.
That is great advice. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And if you like the episode, please feel free to review it, share it with your friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really helps us out. And we never even mentioned, this is our 10th episode.
We did it!
Yay! Thank you guys so much for your constant support.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that we have like consistent listeners, it feels like we have like friends that we're sharing all this stuff with. So yeah, it's really exciting. And as always, y'all are doing a great job.
And if you're having a bad day, remember, at least you don't have teeth in your butt.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.